Okay, g'day guys. Looks like we are live. G'day, my name's Alex from the Tripod. And as we do every Sunday, we'll break down the round that was from a betting perspective, let you know all the bets that we had and how we did. First things first, obviously, we've all got the new Tripod app now, and that's the home for all our best bets, our multis, and all our bonus bet competitions. We're giving away, $3,000 in bonus bets this month, so make sure you download the Tripod app. Just search it in the App Store or Google Play. That's Tripod with a Y. Like our Facebook page, it's called Punters Pod. Also, like us on our socials, Instagram and Twitter. We are Tripod_betting. I'll just get Jacob online. And 10. Another really good week, guys. 31 and 20 this week on best bets. So once again, over two out of three, right? Which is really good. That's making some money. And we are sitting at nearly 60. Oh, I think we probably are sitting at 60% or over for the year now. So yeah, certainly if you've been following our tips, you have been making a bit of money. Jacob, how are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, mate. And it's been a good round. We can talk about that crazy finish. And it actually cost us a couple of minutes to start because we've got to calculate what percentage we went and crunch all the numbers. 31 and 20 this round, which is a good round, even with a bad final ending there. But I'm not going to be a hero in my household unless I finish this pod in the next 10 minutes. We've got Mother's Day dinner plans, as I'm sure you do as well.
We'll be quick.
And I know that our mums are watching, so happy Mother's Day, Colleen and Belinda. I know that. Maybe not that proud of what we're doing right now, but overall, we will do you proud. We'll go fast. For the game, we did have the Raiders to win that one. We had the Raiders -3.5, first to 20, to score over 20 points, and they bloody have 16 at halftime. And we had them in a multi as well just to win, and we win none of those bets, so that sucks, but we did have them first up. And that game, for me, it is about the Sharkies. They are an awesome team, to be honest with you, when healthy. Think about who's missing. Graham, Dugan, Gal scratched just before kickoff. They still get the win. But it hurt the Raiders missing Austin.
Yeah, it really did. And I think that game says more about the Sharkies than the Raiders. I thought the Raiders weren't terrible. They were really good in the first half, had 16 points. But to not score another point in the second half, I think it did say more about the Sharkies. That left-hand attack was humming today. And yeah, once the Sharkies get all their troops back, they are certainly a top eight side. And they got it done today down in Canberra, which is a very impressive win. Then we'll backtrack to Thursday. We had the Tigers beating the Cows 20-12, and we loved the Cows in that game. It was one of two games that we were wrong on. We went 0-7. And did you want me to start with my thoughts, or did you want to kick it off? Really impressive by the Tigers. I think the Cows just aren't right. Like we've been saying for a few weeks, we keep hoping that they'll turn up, but Michael Morgan and JT, they just don't look right. And the forward pack, which we thought, you know, they've got a couple of outs now. The forward pack, which we thought was going to be one of the best in the comp, is a bit shorthanded now. And the Tigers forwards dominated them. Once again, just a really solid performance by the Tigers.
Yeah, huge effort by the Tigers. Lots of credit to them and the rightful winners. The Cowboys killed themselves with errors. And if I have a takeaway, what about Luke Brooks taking an intercept? And he was faster holding the ball with his stubby little body, short limbs, than Michael Morgan with running. Michael Morgan is not right this year, and that's a problem. And yeah, the Cows, yeah, too many errors, didn't deserve to win. It killed us on Thursday, but we rebounded.
Yeah, Morgan was one of the quickest bloody dudes in the comp last year, and he couldn't even chase down Brooks with the ball, like you said. And then next up, we had the Panthers beating the Knights 29-18. We only had four bets on that one. We went 1-3. Look, the Knights weren't terrible. Panthers were very good. The game kind of flipped. I think Panthers were up 12-6. Knights made a line break, fucked the pass. Panthers pick it up and go down and score on the very same play. That would have made it 12-all, and that totally changed the complexion of the game. But yeah, Panthers very solid, despite being a little bit shorthanded as well.
And you said fucked the pass. That was Connor Watson who threw that pass, and only couple minutes earlier, Watson took out the dummy, the marker, when he was playing the ball, and that wiped another 6 points off for the Knights. So that was an 18-point swing. If you just count two bonehead plays by Watson, you have to be able to pass the ball while running at a break. That killed them, and for that reason, we were on the Knights, but I don't think it was such a bad play. I think that, you know, they weren't that far away. And just one other takeaway, Kalen Ponga. I mean, he is playing. We were just talking about how bad the Cows have been. He is playing so much better than anybody on the Cowboys. I mean, if they just kept him, like, he is setting the league on fire. Everyone knows what he's going to do, and he does it anyway, and he makes outside defenders look foolish. But yeah, I think maybe the Panthers will get a little bit more overrated by winning a game where a few things went their way. I would actually fade Penrith in the next couple of weeks or look to do so.
Yeah, which we have been doing lately. And I mean, like we're saying almost every pod, once you lose some troops and that team keeps winning, then people kind of forget that they have lost some troops. Then next up, we got Bulldogs beating the Eels 20-12. We did really like the Bulldogs in that one. We went 5-2 on our plays. And yeah, Bulldogs, like we say every week, you know what you're going to get out of the Doggies. They're not going to fucking set the league on fire. But the defense was very, very solid. Only let in 2 tries. And they only scored 2 themselves, but they still managed to win by 8 points. But yeah, Eels, another one of those teams where... And this is a good... I guess this is a good lesson in, you know, the previous week's performance. Because the Bulldogs, you know, they had the extra rest and they had a phony loss on the Thursday night. And the Eels scored those late 3 tries to make it look, you know, a lot more respectable than it was. So... yeah, Doggies, pretty impressive, but Eels, yeah, very, very bad.
Yeah, really gutsy performance by the Dogs, and I know they did get a couple of breaks late, and the winning try was pretty lucky, but we did feel the Dogs are every bit as good as the Eels. People may not know, but we've been on a Bucks weekend the whole weekend, so a couple of games we didn't get to see live, we haven't been able to apologise for that, and for that reason, we're both pretty dusty right now, but... that was a good result by the Dogs. And actually, well, we may be able to tell a quick story when we get to the Titans game about what we did yesterday. But yeah, good result by the Dogs. They got it done. The ball bounced their way for once.
Definitely. And then our favourite play of the week, we had our most plays on it, 10 plays. We loved the Roosters and we went 10-0 in that one. Obviously, they fucked up the Warriors 32-0. That's the Roosters team that we've been wanting to see all season long. Like we've said, they've got all the talent in the world. And they finally did put it together. Worrying signs for the Warriors, obviously, not just because they lost at Mount Smart Stadium, but now Mason Leno has an ankle injury. Sean Johnson's still out for another week. So we'll all have to keep our eye on that because they're going to have a problem in the halves next week.
Yeah, we love the Roosters in that spot. And that's why they've been at the top of our power ratings every week, because we know what they're capable of. And someone asked me just yesterday, who do you think wins the comp? This is before the Roosters played. And I said, I have to say Roosters, you know. And you look at what the Storm did, not that impressive. Dragons, not impressive today. And, you know, and that is why the Roosters are still on paper the most talented team, I would say. That Keary and Tedesco combo is pretty sweet, and they're starting to gel, and you can see what they can do. And for me, it was their front row, Napa and Warrior Hargraves, absolutely just monstered the Warriors all day long, right up to the end, and hitting hard and just hurt them. And Roosters far too good.
And like we've said, with those kinds of teams, those good teams that know they're going to be there or thereabouts come the end of the year, I think Roosters do probably still finish top 4, but they will get better and better as the season progresses. And that's going to be a scary team come finals time. Next up, we have the Storm beating the Titans 28-14. Only 4 players on that one. We did go 3-1. I'd say we may have gotten a little bit lucky. But yeah, I mean, once the Storm got up 8-0, I thought, fuck, this is going to be another one of those ones where the Storm just rolls someone. Because it was a home run spot for them off a really bad loss against the Titans at a packed stadium at Suncorp. And then the Titans, like they do every fucking week, they just claw, scratch and claw. And they came back and they had a 6-point lead going into halftime. But then the Storm talent really shone through and they ended up covering, you know, the 13.5 line. With that late Addo Carr try. But yeah, I mean, the Storm haven't looked that great in the last couple of weeks. You know, Cam Smith's looking a bit older and he might be out for a week or two with that tackle, which I think, as much as Grubby is, I think that tackle was fucking fine. That doesn't deserve a 1 or 2 week suspension.
Well, we're not NRL 360, but I will say we don't often admit we got lucky. But we got lucky on that one. When they're losing in the second half by, I think, 6 points, we're catching -13.5. And that shows the beauty of shopping around for points, because that line was 14.5 or higher everywhere else. And we did sacrifice 9 cents and we said, take it, whatever it was, $1.83 on Sportsbet, -13.5. We score 18 unanswered at the end, including one by Pat O'Carr. We had him in a tries head-to-head matchup, which we never play. And if we ever did, I would not expect to win a bet like that, but late with so much luck. And then they kept the Titans out when they were down to 12 men, kept the Titans under 16. So we swept the second half there nicely. And a bonus recap for you is that we were at our local Q Cup, Intra Super Cup game for the Bucks party, Ipswich Jets up against the Tweed Seagulls. And the Buck was a big fan of Ippy. So we all put a bit of money on Ippy, put a few bets on for him, catching 2.5 points. I know you're shaking your head because you had Ipswich straight up. We get to the ground and we remember, of course, Tweed of the feeder club to the Titans. And Kane LG's lining up. Connie Harrell, Brendan Elliott, Simpkins are all lining up for the reserve grade side. And it didn't actually seem to matter for the first 70 minutes. Ipswich are up, I think, like 18-4. But long story short, Tweed come all the way roaring back, tie the game, win it on a penalty from halfway after the siren. We cashed the plus 2.5, you beauty. And my signature moment I'll never forget, Connie leaving with a big grin on his face, driving a Cadillac with his Instagram model girlfriend in the car as well. And he was happy. And so are we. It was a good weekend.
He's batting well above his average, and that's probably one of the worst beats I've had, to be honest. To be up 14 with 12 minutes left and to concede a fucking penalty on halfway to lose the game, that was absolutely brutal. Then Manly beat the Broncos 38-24. We had only three plays on that one. We did go 3-0. We did love Manly. But we didn't love them that much, I guess. I guess we got scared off by the Broncos off extra rest, and the game was at Suncorp, even though it looked like a Manly home game. But yeah, look, Manly, very impressive. They were staring down the barrel of what, their sixth in a row loss or fifth in a row loss. And they really did turn up for this one. But very, very disappointing showing by the Broncos once again. And I think, you know, we've talked about this before, why we fade the Broncos so much. I think they overachieved last year. I think they're probably, you know, sitting higher on the ladder than they should be this year. I mean, they're on 5 wins out of 10. I think... what do they have? You had that bullshit win against the Bulldogs, you know, late pen. You had a 4-point win against the Bunnies. You had a 4-point win against the Cows. And you had the bullshit Titans win where they copped the late pen as well. So, I mean, realistically, they could be on one, two, or three wins. So we're going to still look to fade the Broncos moving forward. I think the public still thinks they're pretty good and have them way overvalued.
Yeah, and we easily cash all three plays in that game. And you probably... well, we're kicking ourselves for not having more plays on Manly. We love the spot. As you said, we were scared off by just how much home cooking the Broncos got by the refs last week at Suncorp. And we knew, like, yes, this was kind of a false home field advantage. Obviously, like, home field advantage was flipped because Manly sacrificed a home game to have it at Suncorp. And we were just worried it was an all or nothing spot for Manly, where if things went bad early, it could get ugly. But they got into the battle and they just had to have that one. And they did get it done. Well, convincingly, and that's what they're capable of. They've got just enough to compete when things go their way. And for Brisbane, no Gillette, no Maguire, it shows. It like, you know, as you said, you get a phony win the week before, and people don't realise how important those players are, but now you will see that that makes a big difference.
Yeah, and then another one of our favourite games of the round, the Rabbits. We love the Rabbits this week at home, taking on the Dragons. They did end up winning 24-10. We went 7-2 on plays in that one. And I'd like to just say the Rabbits are legit contenders. At the start of the year, we had them fourth on our power ratings. We thought they were a top four side or equal fourth. I think we had them with Penrith. This side is a top four side talent-wise. And when they're fully healthy, they are complete contenders. And people kind of forgot because, you know, they had Reynolds out for quite a portion of the year. They've had Burgess suspended twice. They haven't had their full complement for most of their games. But when they're fully healthy, this team lights it up. Not only in attack, what I love about them, they fucking have so many runners off the ball when they're in attack. Like, that everyone is running onto the ball. And defense, you don't give their defense that much credit, but they fucking held out the Dragons multiple sets on their own line. Very, very impressive win.
Definitely. You got to give credit to Seibold, the way that he's got them playing, and they do spread the ball a lot early. They put the ball through the hands, even the forwards are passing the ball, and it creates problems to the opposition. We did call it before the season. I didn't see many people even saying the Bunnies were a top eight team, and we boldly said they're a contender. And as you said, they just haven't been fully healthy. I mean, Angus Crichton is a star of this competition. Yep. They got him for Origin. Speaking of Origin, before the season, we said, like, we love the Rabbitohs. As long as they do the right thing and pick Cook in the nine jersey and not Farah. And it's crazy to think that was actually a discussion pre-season. Some people were saying Farah should stay in the nine. So luckily they did the right thing, picked Cook. He just creates opportunities just with his speed that other hookers can't create. And yeah, don't write the Dragons off too much, or, you know, we might have put a meme up called Focus today. But look, you can only play as well as your opposition lets you play. That was a statement win by the Bunnies. Very impressive indeed.
Yeah, and people kind of saying, you know, like, how have the Bunnies improved so much? They basically have the same roster as last year. But, I mean, you get GI back, you know, superstar. You get Gagai, superstar. You know, you get Cook, who's just come out of nowhere to become one of the top four hookers in the comp. Crichton, you know, was getting better at the end of last season. Now he's one of the best forwards in comp. You know, and the Burgess brothers have had a revival. They're fucking rediscovering their 2014 form. So, yeah, I think the Bunnies are a legit contender. But that, yeah, that'll wrap it up for this week. As we said, we had to be pretty quick because you've got Mother's Day stuff and I have to fly off to some Mother's Day stuff as well. But yeah, make sure you download the app. That's going to be the home for all our tips, multis, and all our bonus bet comps. Like I said, $3,000 in bonus bets to give away just this month. It's TRYPOD. Just search it in the App Store or Google Play. Anything else you need to add, mate?
I mean, every tip that we've just spoke about was all released in the app for free. You can get these tips. You don't have to plan, but at least it's worth looking at what we think is going to happen because, you know, it was ugly if you took the Warriors this weekend or the Dragons. There are no easy wins in this competition. It's the best in the world. And our app, I think, is the best in the world too.
Totally agree. All right, we'll leave it there, guys, and we will see you same time, 6 p.m., right here to break down round 11. See you then.